Father,
Lord, help, Father. Lord, I ask, Father, that you enlighten us, Father, as to your holiness, Father, that we may see, Father, and understand, Father, minimally, Father, what you've done for us in the person of Jesus, Father, and who you are, Lord God. Please help us now, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, the last time I was here, I briefly spoke about how we can know God intimately, much like we know the person next to you, your spouse, a son, a mom, whatever the case may be. And in the same way, we can know God. And I briefly spoke about one of the attributes of God, and that was the aseity of God, and how God is the only person completely independent upon anything else, meaning that his existence is entirely upon himself. Then there's absolutely nothing else in nature that has that ability. The chair that we're sitting in is dependent completely upon the maker of that chair, the floors, based upon whoever built this. We ourselves as people, we are not dependent upon ourselves to exist, but to the power of God. And God is the only being with aseity, meaning completely independent of anyone else, he has the power to be. And in keeping with that, I wanted to speak about another attribute of God. And before I go on and talk about this, I just want to say, when I was preparing for this, a pastor asked me a few weeks ago, and I found myself preparing for this message and just completely overwhelmed to the point where I was, my wife will bear witness, I was crying because I felt so inadequate, and I am so inadequate. Amen. And I cannot even begin to explain something like the holiness of God. And so I texted Pastor. I was like, Pastor, am I still on? Tears coming down my face. And he's like, no. And I'm like, thank you, God. Thank you, God. and in that time, I was still continuing to prepare. And in God's provision, while I was in school, a classmate literally hands me a book by R.C. Sproul. It's called The Holiness of God.
Yes.
So it's as if God was saying, here you go, prepare. You are completely unprepared. Here you go. So before I go into trying to explain what the holiness of God is, I'd like to give a very basic definition of what the word holy is. And Pastor Steve gave a nice kind of introductory definition there. So holy. And again, this will never, ever fully explain God's holiness, because God's holiness isn't just in terms of his sinless nature and his perfect purity, but it also speaks about his transcendence. And us as finite creatures, we cannot even begin to comprehend that which is infinite, that which has been before time. I mean, that's just complete. It's impossible. We can't do it. And so with that in mind, I want to give some kind of guidance here. And holy means that which is set apart, that which is so completely different in its nature that cannot be grouped with anything else. Just completely, you cannot find a category for this thing. It is just completely unlike anything else you've ever come across. Holy. God is holy, completely holy. Absolutely nothing can even come close to comparing with him. And a good kind of visual for this was comes out of Exodus 20 verse 8, when he tells the people, remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy, right? 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath day to the Lord your God. There it is, that comparison. Here's the six. In this six, you do work. Here's that seventh. This seventh is completely unlike that six. It's completely holy. It's been consecrated. It cannot group it with the six. It's holy. And so we see that there. And another thing is that God is inherently holy, meaning it is in his nature. It's just who he is. the word holy came about after God. It's not like God understood what holy is and then kind of assumed that characteristic. No, it's completely the other way. Holy is trying to explain something that God is. And so God is inherently holy, and the only reason why anything is holy is because it bears some kind of resemblance to God in his holiness. And the only reason that is because God has consecrated that thing, has set it apart, has sanctified it, and said, this is for me. And that is holy. That is the holy temple. That is holy ground. You are holy people. You are called to be holy people, meaning completely separate from the world and belonging to me. You are supposed to be separate, completely separate. And so, and God is inherently holy. And back to this this characteristic, there are many characteristics within the Bible that speak about God's nature. The only characteristic that has, I'm sorry, before I say that, it's common custom in Jewish literature for the writers to, if they want to emphasize something that is really important, they will repeat it twice. It's seen in our Lord Jesus staying true to his Jewish nature, his customs. He many times says, verily, verily, truly, truly, meaning this is extremely important what I'm about to tell you. And granted, every single word out of his mouth was extremely important, but there were instances where he felt the need to say, verily, verily, truly, truly. And so you know that what was coming out was extremely important. And with that, there is only one attribute of God within the entire Bible that is stated to the superlative, meaning not twice, but three times. That word is holy, and it comes primarily out of the book of Isaiah in chapter 6, also in Revelation. But I want to focus on Isaiah, and I just want to read that passage briefly. Again, from the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. In the year that the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up. The train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The only time, the only characteristic that is said to the superlative is that God is holy, holy, holy. The only time. Never in the book have you encountered anything else that God is loving and he's loving and loving. No, that he's just no. Holy, holy, holy. Completely unlike anything we can even begin to imagine is God. Holy, holy, holy. Brothers and sisters, these were sinless creatures. The like we've never seen, that if we saw a seraphim right now, we'd want to worship it. Six wings. I can't even imagine what that looks like. And these creatures, sinless, in the presence of God, can only say one thing, and that is that he is holy, holy, holy. Imagine how much more me and you should revere him. Us that we are completely sinful. And so folks, I mean, where does this put us? Before a holy creature, completely holy in his nature. And in our nature is sin. Since the moment that Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, sin has become an intrinsic part of who we are. We can't shake it. It's in us. There's no way to undo it. It is inside of us. The Bible explicitly denotes how God cannot stand sin. It's impossible for him to stand it. From the moment that Adam and Eve ate, they were cast out from the Garden of Eden. The same thing is shown to us in Genesis 4:16 with Cain. Because of Cain's sin, he was cast out of the presence of God. It's just, he cannot tolerate sin. It goes against his divine nature. It just violates his divine nature. And so we cannot, as sinful creatures, stand before this holy, holy, holy God. So where does this put us? It puts us right where God wants us to. It puts us at just complete dependence, complete need for the person of Jesus and who he did and what he's done on the cross. I just want to read before I finish up here, Colossians chapter 1, verse, let's see here, verse 20. It says here, and to reconcile all things to himself, by him having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him I say, whether they are things in earth or things in heaven, and you who were formerly alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Brothers and sisters, the only reason why I wanted to speak about this and the attributes of God is so that we can see the contrast between this holy God, see the contrast between this holy God and ourselves, and then run and worship and plead and cling on to Jesus. Because other than that, we are we are worthy of his wrath. And that's the whole reason for this, is so that we go and we cling and we clench and we chase after with every single being, every single fiber in our bodies, that we can chase after this only one who can make, who can atone for our sins, this person of Jesus. I'd like to pray in closing. Father God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for my brothers and sisters, Father. I thank you for this opportunity that we get to come together, Father, before you, and to worship you, Father, to learn from you and to have reverence of you, Lord God. Father, I pray that you bless us, Father, with understanding of your holiness, Lord God. I pray, Father, this isn't something that we can learn from the world, Father, but this is something that you can impart, Father, through your Holy Spirit, Father. And I would just pray, Father, that you would awaken us, Father, and that you would open up the eyes of our heart, Father, that we can come to just understand just how holy you are, how sinful we are, and how perfect Jesus Christ is, Lord God. I pray that you may gift us with this understanding, Father. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Woo.